This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food. We are very lucky to have a salumiere on the Central Coast. I have known about Alipia's products since moving here. What I didn't know is that the artisan salumi is somewhat rare. A quick search revealed that there are artisan salumieres in San Francisco and in Berkeley, one might expect. Then, the others I found were in Petaluma, north of San Francisco, and in Oceanside, down south. So we are very lucky. Central Coast food snobs have been throwing around the term salumi as if they know what it means. So let me clarify what it means. According to California chef Pete Balestreri, the difference between salumi and salami is one of the many items that fall under the umbrella of salumi, like guanciale, lardo, and prosciutto. All of these items are types of salumi. Salumi is a general term, but salami is a specific type of product. Now that that's cleared up, let me take you on the salumi journey that Alex took me on at his Salumeria in Atascadero. As with many of my journeys, we are on location in a salumi factory, and the noises that come with making great salumi are part of the experience.
So my name is Alex Pellini, and I'm a salami maker. We opened the Alipia about 10 years ago. Exactly 10 years ago, it was 2011. Me and Antonio Varia, owner of Buona Tavola, were making salami in the restaurant at that time, and people really enjoy it. We want to make more so we can sell to stores, some restaurant in the area, and winery, because at that time, actually, winery were not having any food at the tasting room. So we decided to open a small salami plant, and that was the first step. Now we have a bigger facility and store. So we're doing pretty good, and we are happy about our product that is very focused in quality, small batches, and authenticity. Okay. I was born in Italy and lived there for 27 years. Then I moved to London for 1 year, get some experience, learn English, and then I call Antonio, my uncle, and ask him if he had a spot for me at the restaurant, and I start to bartending there. And I still work at the restaurant as assistant manager. I'm from north of Italy, Piemonte. Cured meat is a very important part of the meal up there, before dinner, between lunch and dinner, anytime. We have a culture of cured meat and good food.
I've been to Italy a couple times, and one time I went to Spoleto, and every time we went for a pre-dinner glass of wine, it came with a plate of salami.
Yes.
We would say, no, we're going to dinner, and they would have,
Oh, yes, that's like a kind of an aperitif part. You know, before dinner, we had this pre-dinner, cold cuts, cheese, and that is what we start our appetite
off. Get your stomach going.
Yeah,
get
exactly.
For dinner.
And so did you bring your recipes for your salami from Italy?
So we have the base of making salami with the family every winter with my grandfather, Antonio's father. We will slaughter a couple of pigs and make some salami sausages for the family. So we have the base recipe starting from our heritage. And then we add some new flavor, something a little bit more spicy that is coming from southern of Italy. A paprika that we import from that area, Calabria, to make the spicy Calabrese salami. We make the finocchiona, it's a Tuscan style with fennel seeds. And then we have our Parolo, Cacciatorino, and Nostrano that are classic Northern Italian salami. With not too much spices, but very good flavor. You can taste the wine in it, some cracked pepper. Simple, but good. We have a specialty product, particular called Anduja. It's a salami spread. We put salami in a jar, pretty much. It's lightly spicy, it's spreadable. You can serve it for appetizer with bread, or you can make nice pizza with that, serve with burrata, mozzarella. So this spread, we have the idea, of course, from the original Calabrese Anduja, but modified and make it in our way, Alipia style. Alipia is a very important meaning for us. It's coming from my grandmother, first and last name. Her name is Alesina Maria Pia, so Alipia. She passed away in 2011, when then we decided to open the salami plant and thinking about her.
So can I see how you make salami?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Yes, I show you the whole process.
Great.
This way.
How fun.
So we're going to the where the magic happens, the production area. All right. This is the production area. Today we're stuffing salami. We use beef casings. It's natural, it's stuffed inside the meat, and tied is all by hand, using a string that we import from Italy because we cannot find the other thing. Made up of hemp and nylon. It's a thin and is very resistant. They don't make it because here they don't make salami. So this is the meat for the soppressa. Soppressa is a product with paprika, garlic, lightly spicy, very popular. There, hanging, we have some finocchiona, fennel seeds, and Chianti wine.
These look a lot bigger than what I buy.
Yes. When we stuff the product to the end of the process after 1 month, we lose 50% of the weight.
Wow.
So that is because dry aging process. So the salami are going to two different steps. First, after Thai fermentation, where we drop the pH, reach a higher temperature, the starter culture start to work. And after 2 days, this fermentation process, the salami are being tested for pH and they're moving in the aging rooms.
I thought salami was just dried meat, like a dried sausage. But you're saying there is a culture in there that ferments this?
Yes, yes, it's a starter culture that contains the bacteria that are used to protect the meat during the drying and fermenting process.
If I ground up some meat, put spices in it, put it in a casing and try to dry it, it would kill me.
Yes, it will go rancid, you cannot eat it. Okay. Also because you need the right temperature. There is a lot around making salami that people doesn't know.
That's good to know. I will not try to make salami at home.
Yeah, exactly. That's why probably we are the only salami makers between San Diego and San Francisco in the central coast. We're the only one because it's not something that you wake up in the morning and say, let's make salami like you make sausage. Fermenting room, as you can see, the salami are wet. They're gonna have a high humidity during this fermentation process, losing water, and then come out in a couple of days. So we have to go back in the process to start from the beginning. So the meat is coming fresh every week from Iowa and Colorado. We require fresh meat, never frozen. It's not easy to get it, but we have a truck coming every Friday. So the next week, we use it in about 4 or 5 days. Like they do in Italy, our grandparents. So that is a flavor profile that will come out when you taste the product.
Why don't you get your meat from California?
Because there is not a plant that can guarantee us the freshness. They will send it to us frozen. We require that hormone-free natural meat. And we even find that it is too small for what we need, the amount weight that we need.
So you fall in between the small producers and the large corporate cattle and pig production in California.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Correct.
That makes sense.
After we receive the meat, we trim the meat, taking it off the nerves, the blood clot, clean the meat best as possible, get ready to the grind. And then after grind, the meat is going to the mixer where we mix with the ingredients, flavor, wine, garlic, and we let it sit in a walk-in refrigerator overnight. The day after, we stuff and tie the salami. The tying process is very important. You learn how to tie a salami after 6 months of training because there is a lot of manuality, a lot of feeling. The casing are natural, so easy to break, but you don't want to leave the salami too soft because air can go in and then become oxidated. This is the art that it transpassed from our grandfathers to us, and we give it to our employee. You need to have experience, very much experience, to make a good salami.
This is KCPX Central Coast Public Radio, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm Father Ian, learning lots about salami with Alex in Atascadero. As we moved on to the next stage, the background noise got a lot quieter, and the process of making salami became much more evident that it's not simply drying out a sausage.
You use a beef casing. Is that for both pork salami and beef salami?
We don't make beef salami.
Oh,
so we just make pork salami.
Okay.
The only beef is the casing. It's a classic Northern Italian to make pork salami.
So now they're in their casing, they're hung. What next?
The salami, at the end of the day, will be all go inside the fermentation for 2 days. After that 2 days, we test the pH, when is the right pH that USDA require. We move it to dry aging rooms. So this is our packaging and aging room area. Aging rooms are imported from Italy as well. They have a big engine on the back that control humidity and temperature. So we reproduce the basement that we were used in Italy when we're making salami. So that temperature, that humidity that make the mold growing on the salami, because mold is a very important part of the salami as well. So we go room number 3, where we start. Yes, 52 Fahrenheit. These beautiful rooms with our salami that are start to losing weight, start to dry. You can see mold is growing, and that is good. Some nice white mold for flavor profile.
I've always wondered about the white stuff. Tell me more about the mold, because I didn't actually know that it was mold.
Mold is growing naturally on the product with the humidity. If you go in Italy and you go to an artisanal deli or a salami maker, you see salami with mold. It's normal. Actually, you can eat it. You know, you can slice. You don't have to peel it. I peel it, you know, just to taste the meat. But a lot of people, they want to have that profile and the casing is natural. You can eat it. I most of the time peel it, yeah. We keep it in the first aging room for 10 days, about 7 to 10. Then we move it in the second room where they stay up to 20 days until they are ready to come out.
Why do you have to move it to a different room?
Because when I go in here, more wet, the humidity is high there, so the room run faster. Then we move it to a room that is going slower, just to keep the product aging little by little and the product are more dry. And then after these 20 days, we test the water activity. So the content of water is good to go for USDA regulation and taste it ourselves. Make sure that are the way we want and go to packaging, yes. I show you another beautiful room here. Guanciale, pancette, the whole muscle room.
Wow.
So we have a coppa, that is pork shoulder cure, like prosciutto. We have a pancetta, it's a cured pork belly. And we have guanciale. Guanciale is a pork jowl. We started to make it about 2-3 years ago. People were thinking, here were thinking we were crazy, why we do jowl? Nobody eat it. Now is the product that we sell more than everything else, even more than salami.
It was really interesting. I was watching a TV show that used that, and I was like, I'm never gonna find that on the Central Coast. The next day, I was in the grocery store, and I looked down, and there it was. I was like, oh my gosh, I can make this recipe that I thought was with this ingredient that you probably wouldn't even be able to find in the US.
Right, so what do you find out that day? A lot of people find out as well, because we start to get online order for this product, and you know, in general, even pancetta, because you can substitute pancetta with guanciale, but the classic amatriciano carbonara pasta in Rome, for example, is made with guanciale. So chef discovered that, and they call us from New Jersey, from New York, San Francisco, they all want our guanciale.
You talk about testing. You have to test it in the fermentation for the pH, and then you have to test it for its water content in this room.
Yes.
In a typical batch of, say, your regular retail salami, like the Barolo, how many go to waste because of testing?
There are not, actually, because I know that after that amount of days, that can be 20 to 28, the product reaches the right water activity content. Plus, if it's happened, you know, happened before that I slice one is a little bit above, at that point, the product is ready to eat, at least for me, maybe not for USDA, but in Italy we eat salami that are much more softer than you find salami here. So for me, are good anytime to eat. So that one, I keep and slice it and eat it, and the USDA stay with me and eat some too. What I do, I go in and touch it, see the consistent feeling, and I know when it's ready.
It's not all about instruments.
No, the instruments are just actually for show and check, but the feeling and the experience is what we base on a lot.
This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm Father Ian with Alex Pellini, who makes artisan salumi in Atascadero.
So it comes out of here, it goes to packaging. Where do you do your packaging?
Packaging right here. David is packaging right now some of our pre-sliced product. We send it to a company that pair our salami with a wine and they do shipment. It's like a club. They like our product to pair with their wine. We do this program also for wineries around here because it's easy for people to grab the package and already slice.
So is that the end of the process then? Have I seen everything?
Yes, you can see we use wine for the product. We have some nice Chianti for the Finocchiona and our Cacciatorino salami. We infuse with garlic and then let it sit for a few hours and then strain with a cheesecloth in the meat so the garlic doesn't go directly but the flavor in the wine. We have Mondavi Zinfandel for the soppressa. We have Nebbiolo, that is the grapes that you make Barolo with from Lange for our Barolo salami. Okay. Very good wines.
Okay.
It was time for the big request. Then some additional information as we went back to the store.
Can I taste some salami?
Yes, of course. Like, yeah, we don't do tasting right now, but for you, I will. We got this, we go back to the party.
Okay.
You wanna...
I'll carry that for you.
Yeah, thank you. There you are.
So you import a lot of your ingredients?
Yes, actually, the spices are local.
Okay.
Local, we use local spices are from here, no imported. Just the paprika for the calabrese, that is southern Italian spicy pepper, fine grind. That one is coming from there because the flavor are very unique. The truffle that we use in Tramel Tartufo are from France, the black truffle, and the white truffle extract is from Alba, Italy.
Then came the best part, the tasting.
You want to try the finocchione, the truffle, what do you... Something that you didn't try before?
I haven't tried truffle. I'm not a big fan of mushrooms, but I'm willing to try it. And I've never seen the Nostrano.
Nostrano is amazing. My favorite. So, Tartufo and Nostrano. Did you try the Anduja?
I have not.
You like spicy, right?
Because I do.
Like,
I like
give you that to bring with you. It's very nice. It's unspreadable, you know.
How do you pronounce it?
Anduja.
So I'm going to go home and play with this and see
fun exactly. Stuff. You know, put it on bread. We have some mozzarella. It's nice with that. It's a great product, like carnivore peanut butter.
Carnivore peanut butter.
So we don't change our way because customer want it. We want that the customer go to Italy, come back here, and find the same experience.
Mm.
Very fresh. He has a pork ham. For all the other salami, we use the shoulder. This salami ham, so the part of the prosciutto. So you see the color is clear. If you cut a Barolo, it's more dark. Also because the wine, but the meat is more clear, more delicate. Like when you slice prosciutto di Parma, you know, that delicatess.
Right.
White wine, okay. Cracked pepper. So, you know, simple, but that's what in north of Italy do. Simple ingredient salami, good quality.
Can I try one with the casing on?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so this is the casing, yeah. Has the mold.
And actually, I like that.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me even more Italy now that I tasted with you in Italy when I was a kid, probably because it was just eating with the skin.
It's really nice.
It's nice.
It is really nice.
You know that you have a strange flavor. Accomplished the meeting. Tartufo. Beef casing, but different side. The tartufo, we don't want to have a big salami tartufo because the flavor are so intense that you don't want to be a big bite. So usually, even in Italy, are salami, little salami with truffle.
It's nice, it's not overwhelming, because like I said, I'm not a fan of mushrooms.
What we do with our salami is exactly that, we balance very well.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
This slice just reminds me of sitting on the porch of a winery in summer.
Right.
Which of course, none of us have done for a year.
Yeah, some wine outside with nice weather, cheese and salami.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I took the salumi from Alex and did some playing with food of my own. I made a pizza that was tartufo on one side and anduja on the other. I made anduja at deviled eggs and what I called California anduja shishuka. And I, of course, had several lunch plates with salami, cheese, and fresh vegetables. It was all blissful. Food is not just for fueling the body, and producing food is not just about making a living. Food, for me anyway, has much deeper meanings. And for Alex as well.
There's something deeper that is motivating you to do this.
No, for sure it's family, business, would like to success and doing a good job all together. You know, we came here in the United States for that, to do better and have a good life, a nice life, a happy family, stay together. So that's what we do. We want to eat a good salami ourselves before sell a product, you know. We want to make sure we taste it, it's great. Now I think we reach a very, very, very good product and we're so happy about it. And the name, you know, is related to grandma, so that's very special. Yeah, it's more than just a business for sure. Yeah. Having salami and cheese is the easiest thing and for us is a part of our life and now it's become part of life of our customer.
Food is a combination of love and magic, isn't it?
Yes, yes, exactly. Passion. The first person I give salami is my daughter, and I want to give her a good product, of course, the best product, the most health, the best quality. So that's what we do. That's what we do.
When you want what's best for your loved ones, it's more than just a business. This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.